This is WGN. John Williams here. Did you see this in the Tribune, this op-ed yesterday? It begins, quote, "Why am I learning AI if it's going to eventually take my job?" One of my students asked me at the end of the school year. "I don't know," I said. "I wondered the same thing about mine." It's the beginning of another thought-provoking, insightful piece by Liz Schulman, who has joined us now for her 10th time. She's an English teacher at Evanston Township High School and is in the School of Education and Social Policy at Northwestern University. So, Liz, welcome to the show. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you, John, so much.
10 times?
Yeah.
We must like you. Nobody comes on our show 10 times.
I'm honored.
Well, we first discovered you when we started to think about what cell phone policy was like in the schools. So that would have been maybe one of our first conversations, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been a few years ago. That would have been post-pandemic, though, right?
Yes.
So kids were coming back into the classroom, and you all were really coming to grips with how do we handle the phone issue. And at that time, you guys didn't have a very definitive policy at Evanston High, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So it took a couple years to kind of get it down what we wanted to do. And so last year was the first year that we've had it.
That is this school year that just ended a month ago.
Yeah, so I'm actually excited for the fall because now that we have a year under our belt, I think it will be a stricter policy.
But it went pretty well this year, right?
It did. But I think just having a year under our belt will just, some of the hiccups that we could reflect on, I think we'll be better prepared to have it even better next year.
I suppose that's true about it, just about anything. You do it once and then you realize what worked well and what didn't. And the second time, presumably, will be better. What age or grade level are you teaching?
So I teach 9th graders and 12th graders.
And is this college-bound kids or not college-bound kids?
Yeah, some of them are, some of them aren't.
It's not a college prep class, though, or one of those. Mm-mm. Yeah, right. So kids of all abilities or interests in learning English, freshmen and seniors in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And does pretty much every kid in the class own and bring to school a phone?
Yeah, I would say 98%. There's a few students who don't want to bring it. But I would say most of them, yeah, I'd say most everybody has a phone.
And what's the policy in your classroom now?
So the policy is that it's required for all students to put their phone in the phone pockets at the entrance of the classroom, and they put them in when they come in, and then they take them out when they leave the classroom. So they can still have them at lunch, in the hallways. It's not a full day ban. It's just when they're in their academic classrooms.
And does that work in the other classrooms as well then?
Yeah.
And so really then the kids are yours, aren't they? You have told us that attention and participation are better without the phones.
Oh my gosh, it's so much better without the phones. We can do what school is supposed to be, a place of learning and risk-taking without the distraction of the phones.
And I was going to say, and thinking, and interpreting and thinking, but then here comes AI and it's going to do the thinking for us. Just when we get the phone problem licked, now there's artificial intelligence. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
New challenge?
Yes, totally.
Understatement, maybe you make it sound like.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always something new that is disrupting the learning environment and education. You know, there's federal funding issues. Definitely AI is a huge problem, as I wrote about in my op-ed.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. What was the thrust of your piece in the Tribune yesterday?
So it's really a warning about how much AI has infiltrated schools, and I would also argue our students' minds. One of the examples that I had in the op-ed was last year when a student of mine said that she prefers AI to her teachers because she can interact with AI in the middle of the night, but her teachers don't email back until the morning. The students are getting these messages that they should be using it. AI is called their tutor, their buddy, their partner, and they're constantly getting messages that they should be using it.
What do you mean they're getting messages?
Well, I think the big tech companies are marketing to schools and, you know, in advertisements that students will be more successful in school if they use, I mean, there are dozens of apps that students are being targeted with the branding of big tech.
What's an application that big tech is endorsing? I mean, they're not saying have it write your term paper. What's the most legitimate or reasonable application of artificial intelligence that they are asking students to use?
Well, I think that the ChatGPT is probably the most popular, but honestly, there are dozens that are sprouting up every day. Students will list them off. I can't even remember.
Okay,
names
but if,
of
for
them.
Instance, the company or maybe even the school says you're going to write a term paper about the Declaration of Independence, don't just say, "Hey, ChatGPT, write a Declaration of Independence term paper," but rather, what would the founding fathers say about DNA? Or something, you know, new that they could not have commented on then. So maybe the world of research will interpret the founding fathers in a way that I can apply it. You know, I mean, that would be at least a sort of subset of research that the student would then apply to their term paper or some project they're working on. I'm just wondering if that's a valid use of AI.
I think that it can be a valid use of AI. I think the problem with that is that a lot of these AI apps will spit out information and not tell us where they're getting it from. And so, you know, if we're trying to teach students how to cite their sources, yeah, and they're getting all of this information, I don't know that it's in the best interest of the students.
And it might actually be in the best interest of the student if the student read a bunch of books and articles about, I don't know, science and the founding fathers and then themselves constructed that. But at least that would be a shortcut. I'm just wondering what the, again, most legitimate uses of artificial intelligence are or what the abuses are that you're seeing. And we'll pick it up here in just a minute. Liz Shulman is in our studio, an English teacher at Evanston Township High. She also teaches students at Northwestern University. Quick answer to this question. Where is it more challenging for you as an educator, in the high school classroom or the college classroom, artificial intelligence?
I would say it's both, but they're different problems. I think high school, because they're younger and their brains are still forming, but they're being given the message that they can take the shortcuts. I think that college students know a little bit more. They're a little bit more developed.
Yeah. Liz, let me read this to you. A listener said, I work at a nearby school and attention spans are nil. And then we added 90-minute block schedule classes, which is an awful combination. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I would say that we are in the same position at Evanston Township High School. We also have 90-minute blocks, and I agree with you. I think it's an ongoing challenge to get these students to focus for that long.
Yeah. So, and is that because of, in part, artificial intelligence, do you think? AI, these apps the kids use?
Yeah, I think it's because of AI. I think it's because of social media. I think it's the amount of time that they spend on social media. I think that they've been trained that things should be fast and quick, but thinking and learning is not quick.
You said to me off the air that school is where you learn to fail, right? Where you make mistakes and then learn from your mistakes, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that school was a place where you could learn from your failures and learn how to fail. And I think this is what it means to be a human being. But I think when these students are using AI to the extent that they are, they're not getting those opportunities to learn from their mistakes.
So then, do you recognize AI? How often does it pop up in the assignments or quizzes that you give the kids?
It pops up a lot. I mean, the thing is, like, when I talk to teachers, it's the first thing that we talk about. When I talk to non-educators, I think they can't imagine how much AI has become normalized in schools. So even when teachers are telling students, don't use it for this, use it for that, they admit that most of them are using it to cheat.
What do you do to cheat?
Yeah.
What do you mean cheat?
Well, they use it if they're panicked and they need to get their homework in. They use it when they know that they're not supposed to.
They can't use it on a test, though, right?
No, they can't use it on a test. So if they have used it for their work, it's going to show up on a test that they haven't mastered the material.
They actually don't know the stuff. And it would seem to me as an English teacher, you would be especially ripe, you know, prime for kids using artificial intelligence because it's writing assignments I assume they take home. The computer can help them then, right?
Yeah, and so I think this is one of the dilemmas that a lot of English teachers have is how much writing do we let them do at home versus how much do we do in the classroom on paper where it's a more controlled environment where we can meet with them one-on-one.
But I hear commercials on the radio and TV and billboards in town saying this is the artificial intelligence product to use. I got a note yesterday from somebody said it's changed his life. It helps him with projects around the house and his work. Artificial intelligence is a very valuable tool. You would agree with that.
I think that we're not talking enough about how it's different for young people versus adults. And so when we're talking about schools, I think, you know, we need to talk about what is in the best interest of the students. Is it in their best interest to be using it to make a draft? Is it in their best interest to use it to see what it can do? You know, I think it depends on what is in the interest of the students.
Are you using it to teach?
I have not used it to teach. I've talked about it a lot with my students. And one of the things that we talk about is that the job of big tech is to make a profit. The job of teachers is to help students develop self-knowledge and to put them on a path for their future. And so I think that we can't forget that the people in big tech want to make money. They're not educators.
I'll read a couple of text messages. I want to be cautious. Maybe it's not as apocalyptic as it sounds. It's just new and therefore frightening. John, AI is going to destroy our future humanity. That's a lot. What students are doing now with AI is not letting them use their brains to think about a problem. You would agree with that. Mm-hmm. They just hit a button telling them what to think. 702 said, some may have to fear AI taking their job, but some may transition to a job that may allow them to manage AI in some manner. The future may offer new opportunities for many people, and that's more hopeful. So in close then, where's your head on this? Are you hopeful? Are you pessimistic?
I think that I'm aware of the sea of contradictions that are happening in school, and I think that we need to talk about it. We need, you know, administrators and teachers and parents and community members to really talk about what is going on in schools, because what we don't want is an entire generation being told that they don't have to write anything again. That's what we don't want.
You're on the front lines of this new frontier. I mean, I'm sure they didn't talk to you about this when you were a student learning to be a teacher. And clearly in the first part of your teaching career, nothing like this was in play, right? This has evolved right before your very eyes, and you are having to figure it out, Liz. What a challenge, and also what an opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm grateful that I also teach at Northwestern University. I teach future teachers, and so I'm able to talk about it with people before they enter their first classroom.
Well, I hope you will join us for an 11th conversation sometime in the near future. Maybe when you go back in the when do you all go back in Evanston in August?
Yeah, beginning of August.
Wow. Okay, well, let's visit again in the fall then.
Thank you so much.
Liz Shulman, read her piece in the Chicago Tribune, Will Big Tech Transform School into an AI Video Game? You'll see that online, the July 2nd op-ed from Liz Shulman.